Well, let's turn our Bibles this morning to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want to share some things with you this morning that have been really, really stirring on my heart, and I really didn't plan on just jumping out with some of this stuff so quickly, but we are in a very strange day and age. You know, I've been in church all my life, literally. Been in ministry since the time I was 17 years old, preached my first sermon at 18 years old, and I learned a lot. But one of the things that I've learned is that I don't know everything. And so with that, it's real important for us not to take stock in our background, not to take stock in, you know, you may come from a family where you know, your grandpa, your mom, your dad was a preacher. Well, that's great and all, and that's you know, I think that's commendable. I think you have a great heritage. You know, my mother was the first person in any of our whole family on both sides. Well, I say, I'm sorry, my dad got saved before my mom did, but she's the one that took off when she got saved. She really was on fire, I guess you can say. And so, you know, she was born again from being a Hindu. She was a Hindu ever since she was born, so all that being said, you know, she wasn't in ministry full time. She was a minister, you know, at the church she was at. She did a lot of ministry, various things. But all that being said, that's not who I am. For years, when I travel, I really don't like having a bio. You know what a bio is? A bio is when you're going to a church, they want to know, well, you know, tell us a little about yourself. You know, tell us your accolades and all that kind of stuff. We want to share that with the people as we introduce you. Well, I really don't go to places where I'm not in relationship anyway. So I'd rather them say, hey, this is Michael Moo. I've known him for many, many years. A great guy, blah, 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 blah. And they can tell me what they think about me. You know what I mean? And so I like that better than he has a degree from so-and-so. He worked for so-and-so. Well, for years, I had a really nice bio. I mean, it sounded really, really good. I name dropped some pretty big names that I've had the privilege of being connected to. And so all that being said, after a while, I started realizing that, you know, that really has begun to be a crutch for me. And that I'm relying on people liking me, or I'm qualifying my personal ministry with who I'm associated with and connected to, or whose name I can drop as I'm talking to someone. And I got to the place in my personal life where I thought, wait a minute, that's not really who I am. As a matter of fact, I was so proud of my Bible school diplomas and the ministry training that I had, because I've gone through some pretty hardcore ministry training. I don't talk about it as much anymore as I used to, but I'm very, very, for lack of a better term, proud of my training that I have. But even that doesn't define me. What defines me is the now, where I am with my walk with Jesus right now. And if I look in the past and look at all those things, I can get kind of puffed up and think, you know, I do have quite the spiritual heritage. You know, I do come from a good background of the ministers that I've been connected to, and man, boy, people ought to know. You know what I'm saying? And so I can get a little puffed up there. And the problem with that is once I get puffed up, my learning starts to go downhill. And so James chapter 4, let's look at let's start at verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, verse 6, but he gives more grace therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So it says he resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. By the way, there's two groups of people he's talking to there, sinners and double-minded. Who are double-minded? Christians that are playing both sides of the fence. They're of two minds. Double-minded, real simple, of two minds. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. What I want to see this morning, verse 6 here, it says that he gives more grace. Everyone say more grace. Then it says he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, I don't ever want to get to the place where God resists me. You see, I want to be in a place, and I want to always be in a place where God wants to just grab hold of me and love on me. I don't want him to, you know, be at the place where, boy, you get a big head, you really annoy me, son. You really annoy me. You know, it really annoys me when the kids, we're talking, and I'll tell them something that I really don't think they knew, and I'll say something, and they'll say, I know that. I'm just like, no, you didn't. You didn't know that, or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing now, or you wouldn't be saying what you're doing now. Then I'm thinking, guys, even if you've heard me say something before, just say, yes, sir, or just say, okay. And so, like, one time, I think my father-in-law was telling me a story that I know my kids have heard him tell us, you know, probably 10 times or whatever. And so, after my father-in-law had walked away or left, I told Max, I said, Max, I said, you know, Pappy has told us that story X amount of times. And I said, that's as long as you've known it. I said, but before y'all were born, I've heard that story over and over. I said, you know, I could just walk up, I could just, in the middle of the story, say, oh, yeah, I know that story. Or I can, when he's finished saying that, I can say, oh, yeah, you told us that before a few times. I said, but it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help me to do anything for me to just say, oh, yeah, you said that, no big deal. No, just say, hey, that's, you know, give him a courtesy laugh if you have to, you know what I mean? But again, what I'm saying is that all of the time, if people are doing that, if we're always know-it-alls, we know everything, we're going to get to the place where we believe we know everything. And the place that you know everything is a place where we can't learn nothing. And the reality is this, is that I don't know the stuff that I don't know. Does that make sense? All right, so God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. All right, the word proud, everyone say proud. The word proud in this passage means arrogant. It means over and above, over and above. You know, it's kind of like almost flattery. Flattery can be over and above. It means to shine or to show, so it's showy. Now, let me just preface what I'm about to say, okay? Nobody in here at this moment has ever, actually nobody in our church currently, has ever said this to me before. All right, so let me just, I preface that by saying that. Because 100% of the people that have said this to me have never lasted. All right, here's the phrase. Pastor, we just want you to know that we are submitted to you. And if you ever see something in our life that we need correction, we want you to know you can say anything to us and we receive rebuke. And when every time someone ever tells me that, I cringe. I cringe. Now, what it is, and I, y'all know me, I don't like being flattered. I do not like flattery. And what it is they're trying to show themselves or portray to be humble or submitted. Honestly, when it comes to people submitted to leaders, you'll never have to say you're submitted because it'll be obvious. I mean, it's just really clear. I mean, actions speak louder than words, right? And like Val's been teaching, we've got to get better at letting our words and our actions be the same. You know, I told the people this week, Mark 11:22 and 24, you have to believe the words you're saying for this stuff to work. I mean, it's one thing to believe God's word, but you got to believe your word also. And that's been my problem is I heard the charismatic part of this where just say it. Well, then I didn't hear the rest of that verse that said, that little disclaimer that says you have to believe what you're saying. And so all that being said, for you and I, we've got to make sure that we're getting the word on the inside, we're hearing it, and we're constantly growing from it. We don't want just to be the showy people on the outside. An acquaintance, mentioned something about how, you know, people in churches, you know, people can be real showy. I think he's talking about his church. And you know, the people still come to church to show off their fancy clothes. And I thought, my gosh, I said, I don't recall ever anybody that came to church just to be seen. You know, people, like this church, man, they come here because they want the Word of God. I thought, wow. I said, man, that's archaic. Now, I remember, you know, way back in the day, there were some old school churches where, you know, y'all know us. We don't make a big deal about dress codes. Now, I dress up, and we got some that dress up, some that don't. It's just not a big deal. You know, I had someone tell me one time, well, you ought to dress up for God on Sundays. I said, well, how about dressing up for God every day, you know? And so, but again, our goal is to be faithful. And so we want to portray faithfulness, not anything else. And so back to this right here. So God gives more grace. Everyone say more grace. But he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. Okay, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 5. 2 Peter chapter 5. You see, humility is a condition of the heart. Pride is a condition of the heart. And we can cover things up. We can act a certain way. We can speak a certain way. And if you've been in church long enough like myself, man, we could easily fake folk out. 2 Peter. Oh, hey, there is no 2 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 then. Well, hopefully that's it. All right. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. Okay, this is another place here. It's saying almost the same thing. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now let me ask you something. We all like grace. Is that right? Yeah, we do. Okay, good deal. I like grace. I love God's unmerited favor. That word grace is charis or charis, however you want to pronounce it, charis. And it means favor. It means a lot of things. It means promotion. It has the understanding of successfulness, advancement. But one of the things I love, and I heard Andrew Womack say this, that it made so much sense. The word grace always refers to something that's already done. The word grace always refers, by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace. What's he talking about? By something else that's already been done. You've been saved. Now through faith you accept it. You know, what is it, 2 Corinthians 9:8 or 8:9? It says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that while he was rich, he became poor so that you and I become rich. And so it's an act of grace. That already happened. That's a completed thing. And so when we see the word grace, we understand that it's always referring to something that's been done. But here's the thing. He says it gives more grace to the humble. What is that saying? If we're making grace a reference to something that's already been done, then what does that mean? He gives more grace to the humble. Very simply, you know, you and I, we deal with things on a regular basis. When we were in Belize, I believe it was after the second night service. Second night service, probably around, maybe 3:30 or 4 in the morning, man, I had a rumbly in the tumbly, and I got up. And I think I was in the bathroom from, 4 o'clock on, for the rest of that morning. I think I was able to go and get me a little breakfast, and then after breakfast, went back to the bathroom, kind of hung out there for a little bit, and just kind of, you know, sit there until your legs go numb, basically. And if somebody had to use the bathroom, I just jump out, you know, and let them do their business. Jump back in and just kind of hang out there. You know, thank God there was Wi-Fi on my phone. I could at least, you know, I'll do my notes. And so now if I... When has that ever not been, Keza? All right. I have no personal life, just FYI. So, you know, it's one of those, we're real transparent, probably more transparent than we ought to be, but it is what it is, and you like me or you don't, anyhow. Now, I could easily go back and start saying, well, you know, I'm a minister, and for some reason, since I got sick, it must be that God wants me sick so I can learn something. And then I could start identifying with Job. Oh, Job. You know, you start identifying with Job, and you get real pitiful. And so I could easily start making my, you know, gosh, surely I couldn't get sick. I mean, why would a Christian get sick? Listen, if I start making up stuff, then what happens? Number one, I'm no longer tender to listen. You see, humility and teachableness are synonymous. And so for you, like the stuff that Valerie's been teaching, I guarantee you I've heard that stuff over the years. However, is it still strong in me? No. Is there more to learn? Yes. Can God use someone else other than me in this church to teach things that I don't know? Absolutely. But if I get to the place where I can't listen to you, because there's stuff that there is facets and angles that you can come in on that I don't know because of, you know, I appreciate the aviation stuff. I identify with aviation. And so, you know, there are different angles and different analogies and illustrations that somebody else might know, maybe based on their occupation or their upbringing, that I'm not aware of. And so when they say the same thing in a different way, if I am tender or teachable or humble, then I have just learned something newer. And number one, it's going to affect my life first. But once I hear a better way or a better understanding or a new way, then when I come in contact with people to minister that word, because that's our whole goal as a disciple, is to disciple somebody else. So now I just heard something that I can communicate in a better way. Because see, I have a lot of ways of communicating certain things, but I don't have every way. You know, when our kids started the school there in poetry, and I started teaching teenagers that were non-spirit-filled and didn't know the Bible much, man, I was scraping because I'm looking at these kids and they're like, you know, deer in the headlights. They're just kind of like, what are you talking about? You know, and so I had to learn, and thank God there are people in my life that I've learned things from. But for you and I, as long as we stay humble, we'll be teachable. Now, what is this whole give grace to the humble? Finished works. There are so many things that God has already completed. But if we are at a place in our life where we have seen it all, know it all, done it all, then that is evidence that there's something we are missing. There is a finished work. You know, I don't know everything about healing just yet. I don't understand all of it. And so I'm not gonna make bold statements about healing unless I have a word for it. Now, there's a lot of stuff I can boldly say. It is always God's will to heal. I can say this. Somebody asked me a while back, you know, well, does God heal everyone? I said yes and no. And they were like, whoa, what are you talking about? I said, he doesn't heal today. And they said, whoa, okay, well, you know, I thought you were the healing guy. I said, yeah. I said, but what I'm saying is he already did it. So all we're doing is believing and receiving what was already done. I said, he didn't have to heal today because he did everything he needed to do, just like salvation. You know, salvation, it was done 2,000 years ago, right? Jesus didn't climb on the cross this past weekend for Easter to get everybody saved. He did it once and for all. And we accept that. We're good with that. But when it comes to things like finances and health, we're not good with that. We want him to do it again, instead of believing what happened at the cross. Well, so that's the thing. Sometimes our pride will say, well, no, I'm doing this. I know all this. I was talking to some of y'all this morning about that. It was a big deal yesterday. I chatted with a minister 34 years. He was in ministry 34 years. And the question he asked on a Facebook thing was on healing and health. And so I started putting scriptures. You know us. We learn. That is something that we are students of here in this house. We want to know everything God says, and we want to know it all the time. Because the all the time makes you fresh at it. In other words, if I heard something, that's why I'm so glad we have this class on Sunday mornings, because that's not where God has me teaching, but I need to hear it. You need to hear it. And so, bless God, we're hearing it. Amen? I need to be strong in that. I'm not as strong as I can be. Keys and I are at a new place in our personal life where, boy, I tell you what, we need that more than ever right now, because we're believing bigger than we ever believed before. And so with that, I mean, the timing is just unbelievable, but believe it, that's just God. That's God for you. But again, if I were to say, well, you know, I've heard that before, I don't really need to come to that class, or, well, I'm going to come there to throw Valerie a bone and I'll just kind of Facebook or whatever, you know. Listen, I'm telling you, I need more grace, so I want to be more teachable. So back to this right here, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Do you know that it's hard to submit yourself if we're prideful? You know, that's one of the hardest things that people deal with, is they can't submit because, well, I don't want to submit to, Lord, I tell you what, dealing with, y'all parents know about that, kids, and the submission part over there, the obstinance. All right. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, I want you to see just a couple things right here. Number one, it says humble yourself. Well, you know, I think God let that accident happen so he can humble you. No, no, no. God's not trying to humble you. He's trying to get you and I to humble ourselves. Isn't that, do you see that? I mean, if God has to humble us, all right, if he's telling me to bow before him and I won't bow, if he comes up to me, kicks me behind the knee, and I go down to my knees, is it me bowing on my own accord? Or did he get me to my knees? Well, you know, someday God's going to get you to your knees. He don't want him to get you to your knees. He wants your heart at your knees. You see what I'm saying? And so old school, all this old school stuff, this religious stuff that I thought was gone, evidently it is still just as strong as ever. Listen, God is not trying to humble you. Well, you know, I guess we lost this and this got repoed and just to try to humble us. You know, Keys and I, we were in Belize our first full day, was Wednesday, get a call from our auto mechanic in Garland. Your AC is going to cost $800. Okay. All right. Well, praise God. We'll deal with that. We're believing. All right. And so, but at the same time, you know, I could, God just wanted to, you know, humble us with that big bill. You know, maybe we're getting too prideful because we talk so big. Man, let me tell you, we talk big because we believe big. Man, I mean, the Word of God, if the Word of God was minute and minor, then I would talk little. But we just believe this stuff, and we have no problem talking big because we believe that the Word of God can back up what we're talking. Does that make sense? So do you think God broke my AC to humble us? So maybe God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh to humble him, is what the Bible says. Well, no, first of all, God didn't give nothing. The Bible says it is a messenger from Satan. Oh, man, what happened? Is that like an invisible word in the Bible? They, you know, the publisher made that one in invisible ink, or maybe it's that infrared. You got to wave an infrared light over to see it. Glow in the dark. There you go. It's that glow in the dark stuff. I don't know. Because it says that it was given to Paul because so he wouldn't get puffed up, be above measure. Well, listen. When you're believing big, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're big on the inside, what's going to happen right here? You're going to be big on the outside. You're going to talk big. And so who would not want you to talk big? The devil. So God wants you to talk big. And so puffed up beyond measure. Well, first of all, look at this. That verse right there says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And so just because you're exalted doesn't mean you did it. God wants to exalt you. Well, you know, that preacher got too big too soon, and so they're probably eventually going to fall. Are you kidding me? They were in the background serving for years and years. What they just stepped into was years of harvest in their life. Man, I'm telling you, I'll just say this from firsthand experience. I've known people that worked over at Lakewood Church over the years. I grew up in Houston, and we thought, you know, I grew up in a denomination that was just kind of evil, and so we thought Pastor John Osteen was the devil. I mean, we really did. We talked all about that. Of course, you know, nobody in the whole city of Houston talked bad about them except for the churches. You know what I'm saying? And so, because the billboards all over town, all it said was the Oasis of Love. And that's what they have been in Houston for God knows how many years, was a place where anyone can be loved. And so all that being said, I have known people that have worked there and served there. My spiritual mother and father served there for many years. And one of the things they'll tell you is that the current pastor, Pastor Joel, He never aspired to be the pastor. He never aspired to be on the platform. He served in the mission field. He served on the behind the scenes. That was his deal. But he was faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. And so why did all of a sudden, boom, oh, that was quick success. He got up there just that quick. No, 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 no. It wasn't quick. You didn't see the planting and the plowing behind the scenes. What am I saying? Listen, God wants to exalt us. And when God exalts us, of course the devil's going to throw thorns in the flesh and try to slow us down. But if you and I, if we think we know everything about what's going on in our lives, I ask people this all the time. I said, man, wouldn't you want to know why a bad thing happened? And talking about aviation, you know, I say this before, but it's so real to me these days. When there is a plane crash, the NTSB, National Transportation Safety Bureau, they go and they secure the scene, and they, after they put out the fires and they get all the bodies out of there, then they start getting every piece, collect every single piece. They will put it in a, usually they'll transfer it to a big hangar, an airplane hangar, and they'll protect it, and they will study it, and they will work that accident forensically until they figure out the crash. And they will not. There have been accidents, plane crashes, that happened 25 years crash that when I was taking ground school several years ago, they finally, after 25 years, finally finished the investigation and figured out what the problem was, but they don't stop till they get an answer. You know, if we would take some advice from the NTSB, we could stop pilot error. You know, pilot error is the number one reason for plane crashes. For you and I, whenever stuff happens, we ought to find out what happened instead of assuming what happened. Well, you know, it must have been, you know, some kind of failure of the mechanical failure. Well, that's an okay assumption. But honestly, the first assumption ought to be pilot error, because that's the highest percentage of reasons why. What am I saying this morning? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you. I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you didn't know. God wants us to know things. But when we think we know it all, guess what happens? Our hearts get hardened to truth. Our heart gets hardened and we can't grow anymore. You know, the whole prosperity thing, a lot of people, because they may have sown a seed one time because someone said, try it. Listen, I appreciate Val. She doesn't say try it. She's showing you in the Word what the Bible says. And man, she's encouraging you to just do what the Word says. Don't just try something. Listen, I've tried things and never happened. But man, when Keys and I finally figured out that, whoa, wait a minute, this stuff works, and planting a seed doesn't happen over, the harvest doesn't come overnight, but when we stay with the seed, you'll see first the blade, then the ear, then the corn in the ear. Man, I'm telling you what, if you'll just stay with it, but the problem is if it doesn't happen overnight, we chalk it up to, well, you know, I tried that stuff and it just didn't work. And then our hearts get hardened. And then someone talks about seed time and harvest. Keys and I were talking. There was a friend I know that I've done ministry with in the past. And one time we were talking and they said, I don't believe in that prosperity stuff. And I'm just like, then 2 days later, 48 hours later, I got a text. Hey, you know, just pray about it. If your church can help us, we got a mission trip and we're minus about $500. And I forgot what I literally took a day before I actually texted back. And the reason why, y'all know I'm pretty sarcastic, right? And y'all know I'm in your face a little bit. And so I wanted so bad. Yeah. And so I had to wait till I cooled off, because I just, you know, one of those situations there. Very simply this morning, you and I, we have so many things that God wants to do in our lives. And if we harden ourselves to it, if we don't realize there's more to learn, if we just stick to what grandma said and what grandpa said, you know, grandma and grandpa, they knew some, but they didn't know all. You know, I have such great respect for the Copeland family. Because I'll listen to them when they're on the program, when they're interviewing somebody. I'll watch them, and meetings. We've had the privilege of the ministers conference. They're in every single meeting, and it's a lot of meetings. And they are on the front row, and they are taking notes, not to get a sermon, because they're hearing stuff that in all their 50, 60 years of ministry, they've never heard before. And man, and they'll you know, somebody will say something on the TV program, and they'll say, you know, I've never heard that before. I'm like, wow, first of all, that you would admit that, you know, number one, and number two, that there's something you haven't heard before. But yeah, there are things we haven't heard before. You can write this down. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. This is the Pharisee and the tax collector. These are the guys who went in the church, and the Pharisee goes and, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this sinner right here, just all puffed up and proud. And then the other guy, he's like, oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me, a sinner. You know, he's humble in his heart. Well, who do you think gets the grace? Who do you think gets not just the grace, but the more grace? In other words, the more of the completed works of God. Because there are completed works that I believe we haven't even discovered yet. There, you know why? The Word is growing. It's alive. There is stuff going on that we don't even realize just yet, because we're just not there yet. Listen, when I was a baby, I couldn't eat beef jerky. I couldn't eat steak. I didn't have the equipment to eat it with. Well, there's stuff I'm still cutting my teeth on right now, spiritually, and I'm not quite there, but I can't wait. There's more I know. There's more I know that I'll get to. But listen, I don't want to be the one who knows it all, who's been, oh yeah, seen it all, done it all. I like I said, I don't even like talking about my history of my ministry past, because I don't want it to sound like, well, you know, Pastor Michael, you have done a lot. Well, you know, I've served a lot. That's what I brag about. I love talking about how I served, because for me, that was some of the greatest opportunities of my life for growth, was serving. But today, I believe that God wants more for each and every one of us. And I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but God gives grace, more grace, to the humble. Amen? Let's stand. You know, when Joel got up this morning and shared that word that he shared, there's a study that I started, maybe been on the airplane on the way to Belize, regarding trusting God. No, it was in Belize. On trusting God. Are we trusting God? You know, you mentioned trusting or having confidence in your job and putting your hope in your job. You know, we could say we trust God, but do we really? Because see, a lot of times we put our trust in something because we're not quite sure that the God's Word is really going to work for us. Listen, there is not a problem going to the doctor. There's not a problem going and taking medicine. But there is a problem with trusting that over trusting the Word of God. Be quite honest with you. This week, I took this one little pouch out of my backpack that I've had a little single serving of Imodium in. Y'all know Imodium, you know what I mean? And so man, I got up and I thought, oh, I think I have some. I'm digging in my backpack, looking for that patch, and I got it. And I'm like, oh, no, I took that out before this trip because I didn't think I was going to need it. And so, you know what? I guess I'll have to stand on the Word. Isn't that bad? Listen, we put our trust in too many things. Now, we brag about, oh, well, we're believing God. We believe God. Oh, man, I got to make sure I get that appointment in. Nothing wrong with the appointment. But my question is, which one do you trust more? And we ought to know the answer to that. We trust God. Let's bow our heads.